You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Hey everybody, Paulie here with Hard Drive Radio, and I am really excited to have in the studio with me now, From Ashes to New. Man, it's so good to see you guys. And Matt, I want to start with you because we got a couple of new faces in the band. So tell me about what's been going on the past few months and what's been working on.
Well, I saw you a couple months ago.
That's right, in Vegas.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm sober now for 2 years, so I remember seeing you.
Congratulations.
2 months ago in Vegas. There's been some changes in the band, and, you know, obviously with the band name From Ashes to New and you know, what we represent and overcoming adversity and going from building from the ground up and starting over, it was just weird that it kind of came that way. And these new guys are what I consider and Lance considers a blessing in disguise. We'll see how that goes, you know,
good.
As time rolls on, you know.
With our band name, I feel like we should keep changing members.
Yeah.
Just keep
all
recycling.
The time.
So now that we're on the air, Hard Drive, Danny, you're fired.
Cool.
No!
We haven't even released the album yet.
Okay, I'm leaving.
Peace out, bro.
I'm going to start playing the MacBook soon.
Who are you?
The drums.
Who's this guy?
Oh, that's Matt.
How did you get in here?
Wait, Matt, you were just talking to Matt.
Wait, what band were you
in? It was Matt with one T.
It's a local band.
Can we just talk about your previous band? Can we just screw this interview?
Just go and talk about another band?
Well, actually, I do want to say, can we talk about your previous band? Or is that...
Do we have to?
No, we don't have to bring it up, but I mean, like, this, you know, no.
Matt. In every interview that happens, it becomes the last band interview. I mean,
right.
I'll talk about it a little bit, but it's like we did an interview where we in L.A., and the whole interview was just based off of, oh, but this. And I was like, yeah, but how about the new band or the band that you're interviewing? And I was like, oh, but this.
It was hilarious. Like, we sat and did this interview, and it's cool doing interviews. We love it. But it went from him asking us, like, three questions about From Ashes to New, and then the next thing you know, the rest of the 20 minutes was Trivium.
Wow.
Like we were just like, all right, we were looking at each other like, why are we even sitting here?
Let's kind of keep the focus on From Ashes to New then. Matt, you did drum with Trivium for a while, but tell me about getting recruited for From Ashes to New and how you got involved with them.
Well, it was actually a post from Grant McFarlane, who did the newest album and also did the...
He did all of our stuff.
Did the last album as well, and I was friends with him from way back. I actually was hit up to join after he left This or the Apocalypse. It was like back when I still didn't have a band. It was like back in like 2010 or 11 or something like that. So I was friends with him on Facebook. I saw a post. He was like looking for an international band, needing a drummer, hit him up. He contacted me with the previous drummer, and then he knew my work from Trivium and was super stoked to find out that I also lived about an hour away from where they rehearsed. So it made sense, and it was on the Atreyu run in 2016. So went out for the 2 weeks with them, and I jokefully said at the end of the tour, as we're cleaning out the RV and everything, I was like, hey, guys, well, Tim never, you know, works out, hit me up. Well, he decided.
It was like a couple months later.
Decided to not work
out. I was like, yo,
out,
by the way,
hit me
didn't.
Up. So it was like October, I think, Matt reached out to me. I was on tour with a band called Oni Tekken for him, and I just wanted to get back to playing. So I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Awesome.
Let's link up.
Danny, how'd you get roped into all this?
I got a Facebook message from Matt, which I promptly ignored.
He did.
We weren't friends on Facebook, so it went into my other folder, whatever that other folder is.
Disease folder.
And and I didn't open it. I didn't actually even read the whole thing. I just saw it, and it said something like, hey, man, want to talk to you about music when you get a minute. And at the time, I was not in the best place. I was like, you know, screw this. I'm not even going to bother replying to it. And luckily, we had a mutual friend, and she told me that Matt had messaged me. And she worded it, Matt from the band From Ashes to New sent you a message and was just letting you know to get back to him as soon as possible. And I was like, wait, what? Like, oh, my God. So I went into the other message and replied and made up some excuse as to why I didn't respond to him.
We actually found Danny through a YouTube audition.
Yeah.
For something else that Matt and I were up one night trying to find vocalists.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at his house working on music because Lance was still home writing music and we just hadn't linked up yet. And we're like on a week and a half, 2 week search, and we found him through doing something else.
Yeah, so that was like February or March, and they asked me to send a few demos, or not demos, a few auditions, and so I did that, and they let me know that they were going to do a public audition and that they were still looking, you know, elsewhere and trying to find, you know, the best fit. So they told me to post the stuff, but they said that they'd, you know, keep me updated. So yeah, we just went through that, and they just ended up landing on me after all the public auditions were over.
I'm starting to notice this trend that you're very good at excuses.
What?
Are you talking about, like, oh, you came up with this excuse to ignore Matt, like, when you returned that shirt to H&M the other day with a stain on it?
It's just a stain on it, yeah.
Was that stain there when you bought it?
Oh, no. No, I spilled, like, some, like, purple stuff on it or something like that.
He was eating Tide Pods.
Yeah, I was chewing on some Tide Pods and spilled a little bit on the shirt, and I returned it, and she was, like, looking over it really, really thoroughly, but she didn't notice it. So I went and grabbed another shirt of a different size, and she caught me before I went out. She's like, "Ew." He was like, "I saw that stain on the shirt." I was like, "What? What stain?" I was like, "I have no idea what you're talking about."
It wasn't me.
I was like, I thought you were playing
that
with me.
That stain must have came from my others folder in my Facebook inbox.
The disease folder. That was a disease stain.
Lance, you've been playing with Matt the longest out of these guys.
That's
so
disgusting.
Let's not talk about that on the air.
Wait, well, I mean, what you guys do in your own personal time is your business.
I don't think my wife appreciates that.
Oh,
or maybe she does. I don't know. But Tell me about those first couple times getting married.
Paul, we're still
special?
Here.
Did he use protection?
Never.
I snorted the
Did
condom.
Did he buy you dinner?
I snorted the condom right after I ate the Tide Pod.
He nuked the Hot Pocket for me right after.
Yep. Flash Pocket. Caliente Pocket.
You ever see those memes where they just replace the ingredients of, or what the insides of Hot Pockets are with, like, aquarium gravel?
I mean, oh, my God.
What the hell? All kinds of other stuff. It just
the aquarium gravel pocket.
That's awesome.
Sand pocket.
Sand pocket. Was that Jim Gaffigan?
Yeah.
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 Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's like, great, you're going to call off work.
The breakfast pocket?
Yes.
Yeah. I think he asked you something, though.
I did.
What were we talking about?
Just you know, getting in the band and
oh, getting in the band.
Like, yeah.
T-Rex.
Yeah, anyway. It's a theme that Tim kind of brought us into the band. Then he left.
Yeah, Tim brought both of us, yeah.
I played in Emphatic Through Fire.
Oh, yeah.
I had nothing going on at the time once I left. Actually, it's been so...
We all just
my memory
settled
is
for
just
this.
Completely screwed. We were talking about this before. I don't even remember was I in Through Fire at the time when I.
I have no idea.
I don't remember.
Either. I didn't want you in the band.
I know you didn't.
Yeah.
No.
Well, the guy that he replaced in the band was like is still one of my best friends. So, and our drummer that we had prior to this was manipulative, and I had no ideas. But he manipulated me in a good way because Lance is now part of the band. So I'm glad that he manipulated me there.
I was the hardest on recruiting
like trying
Danny.
To stack the deck against you by replacing your friends with his friends. That's weird.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
Jeez.
Hey, it worked out.
It did. It did work out.
I'm okay.
Lance saw through the BS. He's still here.
That's a useful skill to have. Not everyone can do it.
The light side rather than the dark side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the new album is called The Future.
Yes, sir.
And it is out April 20th. Tell me, when did you start writing for this album?
January
of
1862.
No, it was December. December, yeah.
Back in the battle of
December of 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Like I said, Matt and I live the closest. I'm about an hour and 15 minutes now from his house. So we live the closest. I mean, Lance obviously.
And what's your
likes,
address?
it is.
His phone number is 911-723-6464.
So him and I were able to link up in December and kind of get things started. Actually, a little tidbit. The first song that was written for this album was Gone Forever. So there's a little behind the scenes or whatever.
When you guys are writing, can you know, do you listen to other music while you're writing? Can you do that? Or
like while
do you have
writing?
To, like, shut yourself off? Like, not during the process, but, you know.
For, like, inspiration. Like, oh, I kind of like
exactly.
how this one part goes in this one song. We can
I know,
maybe
you know, a couple of musicians
like
I've talked to, they say they can't listen to anything because they don't want to, you know, be influenced
we
by it.
We take the song and we do everything in reverse, and then we just, that's the song.
Yeah. No, so I don't know. I don't know if I ever really thought about that, to be honest with you.
I mean, if we do listen to stuff like
I listen to a lot of Rick Astley while I'm writing.
It's not necessarily intentional.
We don't really listen to rock music while we write.
Yeah,
music.
There have been times where, like, you know, I was just listening to a song, and then, like, a thought came into my head that is, you know, similar to maybe that song, but it's kind of its own thing, and then I took that and kind of built something, you know, from that. So it was inspired by it, but it doesn't really sound like it. Sometimes things like that happens.
Yeah, and for me, I don't think I really ever thought about it, to be honest with you. I was asked a question in an interview yesterday about something like that, about the sophomore slump idea. You know, obviously this is our second album. And I never really think about those things until it's like afterwards, you know? Like, oh, wow, there could have been that. Yeah, so, no, I don't know. Lance,
what?
Do you have to turn music off?
Didn't I already answer this question?
You don't listen to music. Lance doesn't even listen to music.
No, like, the past, like, month, anywhere I've been driving is silence, and it's so good.
Yeah. He doesn't play guitar either.
I hate
He was playing guitar last night in the hotel room. I'm like, what are you doing?
But what I was doing, I was trying to figure out the chords of this song is, like,
Can you say it on?
I'm going to say it anyways. You can bleep it out.
Yeah, this is on air.
It's like playing these chords.
No, it's recorded.
I grab your butt cheeks and pull out my willy. Stir your asshole like a big bowl of chili.
What the hell?
Oh, that's the right chord. Yeah. That's the only reason I play guitar
yeah.
now.
I was like getting out of the shower. I'm like, is he playing the guitar right now?
Please make that like a secret track or something.
That'd be great. End
Just
of the
underlining stuff in the next song.
So once you guys were done writing, where did you go to record?
Atrium. Same place we recorded the last album and EP.
Oh.
In Lancaster. Pennsylvania.
Yep. Yeah, there's good chemistry there, so we figured why not? Let's you know, day one.
Yeah,
seemed
I was
to do really
Grant
well
the
so.
Other day. He said specifically that you guys work well together.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
It's nice to hear.
Who said that?
We're just
our producer.
Really honest about everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very nice to hear that we were easy to work with and that we work well together.
We like to have a good time. We like to have fun with it.
Yeah.
So
it yeah, we
like
just we that. Joke around a lot to the point where you don't know.
You don't even want to be in the room anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we can't even make jokes with each other anymore. Just getting,
half
getting
the time
ridiculous.
We're not even saying anything, but we're just laughing because it's like somebody will just do something and it's stupid. There's so much
get
inside
real punchy,
stuff going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the shitty puns.
I mean, I feel like when I get together with my friends, it's definitely gets into that kind of situation, and I'm maybe from the outside it seems really annoying,
yeah,
but for me personally it's fun
as
hell.
Yeah, it's
so
hilarious.
Suck at everybody else. How many songs did you guys end up writing for this collection, and then how many actually made it onto the album?
I think this is the first time. So every time that From Ashes to New has ever written songs, the band has ever written songs, it's always, everything that's written goes on either the album or a B-side collection or something like that. So there's never any extras. I think this is the first time that we had a couple extra songs. Like, there was, what, I think 14 songs is what we're contracted for or whatever. Usually what happens is 11 ends up on an album, 3 end up as, like, B-sides or collections or something like that, and then we wrote 2 extra for this one.
Can we start doing C and D-sides, too?
Cool.
Z-sides?
Z-sides. If you got to ask, it's too much.
So are you thinking about putting out, you know, another EP on top of this or like a
No, you know, the way the label edition. Rolled out the songs was super awesome because, like, we live in a content era. Like, everyone needs to be fed, like, constantly. Mm-hmm. So the way that we rolled everything out with releasing 4 songs and then releasing 4 songs and the album's going to come out on 420, 6 more songs. We got some other cool things that we've done, and we do have a couple more songs in our pocket. So there's always the, like you said, you know, the ability to roll out an EP later on or maybe release a single in between albums or something like that.
Smart.
I mean, we'd be cool with it, you know. So for us, it's like just release as much content as we possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, we just put out a really sweet cover, you know.
On SoundCloud. If you're on SoundCloud, it's on SoundCloud.
And we will talk about that. Actually,
we could release that.
It does remind me. I was talking to Matt Bellamy from Muse a few weeks ago, and they're kind of doing the same thing where they're not even waiting to put together an album. They'll write a song, they'll record it. Once it's done, they'll just throw it out there.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, these days it's such, you know, a consumer thing where people just want new all the time.
You're able to move on to the next thing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And you can. I know Danny's making a face over there. I'm trying to talk with Paul here, guys. All right. I know that, you know, the pop world has been doing it for some time. Chainsmokers, you know, obviously very, very successful artists. And they, for the longest time, I don't even know if they've even released a full album, to be honest. I think that they just continue to put out content. And like I was saying, it's easy to kind of go from listening to one artist, and then if they don't put anything out for 2 years or something like that, you forget about them until they come back. I think that we were kind of, in a way, obviously we went through member changes, so people kind of looked the other way when that happened too. But, you know, in a way, I think we were kind of in that picture, you know, where we had released a lot of music at one time, and then the next thing you know, we're gone for a while. And now we're coming back, and all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, yeah, From Ashes to New, that's right, that band. So it's cool to always kind of be, you know, just in front of people. So the way the Muse is doing it, that's awesome. I didn't know that they were doing that. That's an awesome idea.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I'm always interested to see who's trying to do something new, because, you know, the album release cycle thing is a tried and true method, but, you know, in this digital era that we live, where it's almost like, you know, I hate to say this, but music is almost disposable. There's just so much of it, and there's so much access
to
it.
Really, that reminds me.
Exactly.
I'm going to state it here that it was my idea. I came up with a brilliant idea, like, for the next new thing.
Okay.
All right. You listening over there? Okay, get this. So you know how, like, games on your phone that are free or whatever, it's all based on microtransactions.
Oh, don't say this on the air.
Why not? I'm claiming it as my thing. Like,
it doesn't mean that someone else can't do it. Think...
Yeah, but then you look at the date that this was recorded, and if they, like, put it out afterward, it shows that he prior had that idea and he can actually
sue them. Can we share it, Lance? Go for it.
This is actually a great idea.
This is a great idea.
All right. Because then you don't have to put it together. They do it, and then you just sue him and get the money.
Lance Dowdle, From Ashes to New, came up with this idea.
Wednesday,
take it, and I will sue
April 11th, 1:34 p.m.
All right. So you got all these games that have microtransactions. That's how you get your money. So what if we recorded an album? We can put it out our way, but we have some platform that lets you interchange pieces of the song with, we record like 10 or 12 other pieces of the song. You can arrange it the way you want. You buy the part. Like if you want a guitar solo, like I record 10 different guitar solos. I like this one. I'm going to put this in here. Or I like this bridge. I'm going to put it in here.
Making
instead.
Your own songs.
Make your own song.
Nine, nine, ten,
out
you
of
become your
that
own
we
producer
make.
For your own music.
Jeez. That's actually a really cool idea.
Make think your, about, I would think about
like
this
there
way.
Are times
you
where you're like, man, I wish
cents.
There was a guitar solo in this part of the song instead of this breakdown or whatever.
Yep.
Bam,
cool
switch it up.
If you charge 99 cents per part, you could essentially get like $20 per
each
song.
Each part would obviously work together and fit like a puzzle, but you would arrange it how you want it.
It's like buying character skins for video games,
right?
Except you get like these different pieces, and you can kind of rearrange.
And then there's no licensing problems when you want
to
upload it to your own video on YouTube.
Then at that point too,
make that happen.
There's an even deeper attachment.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. It's just how do you go about, like, you have to create some type of software, some app.
It is
right that would make it seamless.
A new platform.
Yeah. It's also more work for the artist as well. But people would also have to buy music.
Yeah, that's
because nobody buys music.
I still buy music.
They don't. But you know what? Since you brought that up, Matt, I'm going to touch on something real quick. Spotify. Actually, so like we have an independent EP that the record label doesn't own. It's actually the main reason that we're still able to function properly in the rock world. So that EP makes the most money from Spotify.
Really?
Yeah. So it's shifted gears, right? So originally it made the most money from iTunes. So, you know, when people were buying songs off iTunes and downloading it to their phone or whatever, that's where our income would come from to keep the band on tour, keep the band, you know. But Spotify has taken that over. And it's making more money from Spotify now than it ever had from iTunes. So, yeah. So streaming actually is now starting to come around, pay the artists. There's a different model now, though, too. Like, you know, streaming's a lot like radio now with their model. So I think that, you know, both the worlds can really coexist well together and really help an artist, kind of.
Well, you guys are, you know, you have a very good point of view to talk on this. And this is something that I've always wondered about from, you know, a consumer of music standpoint. You know, I see these stories of bands posting like, oh, you know, we got our check, you know, for a million streams from Spotify. And it's like 37 cents.
Your band did that.
Yep.
Your ex-band did
that. Is that for real? Like, or are you actually able to, you know, live off of the income you make off your streams, and how many streams do you have to get?
I did a little math on like what the average earnings are per like stream. If it's a premium user, it's something like 0.4 cents per stream. So you have to do something like 5,000 streams, and that would sell a CD, like a single CD. Yeah, so it's low. It is really low, but Spotify has to kind of, in order to keep their prices low, they have to keep the payment there, because I also did a little more math, and if anyone on their single account streams more than 4 hours of music per day, every day for a whole month, Spotify technically loses money on their account.
But when it comes to, so it all depends. Like if you're an independent artist and you're not signed to a record label, obviously most of that revenue is yours. You're always paying a distributor. you know, usually you're not your own distributor. You have to pay a distributor to get your music on these platforms. If you're with a record label, you get paid X amount of money in advance from the record label, and then you have to recoup that X amount of money before you actually start making money. So the bands that you're seeing posting checks that's like, oh, I got paid 37 cents for my Spotify. Well, it's like, yeah, but you know, the rest of that money went to recoup the money that your record label has paid for your promotion. So, you know, independently, because I know, because I'm also an independent artist, and, you know, the band obviously makes, you know, like I said, most of the revenue being having that independent EP, you do well, you know. If you have millions of streams, you know, if you're,
yeah,
you know, obviously like Danny's saying, like if you're only getting a few thousand streams here and there, you're not doing anything. But if you have millions of streams, it really starts to add up over time.
Good to know. There you go, independent musicians. You can make a living. You just need millions of streams.
Yes.
So, you know, write good songs.
Yeah, write good songs, get millions of streams, and you'll be good to go.
Easy. Yeah. Easy. Anyone could do it.
Just mumble.
Nowadays, all you got to do is
mumble. And mumble.
Nowadays, all you got to do is somebody else's song.
Yeah. If it can be released.
Let's actually talk about some of the songs. The single right now is Crazy. Tell me what went into writing that song, or maybe, you know, where your head was at when you were creating it. Or, you know, how did it start? Did it start with a lyric? Did it start with a riff?
It
was a completely different song.
Yeah, 12 yeah. Hours
the well, label yeah, was listening to, you know, all the tracks that we sent them. And we were like, we feel like we need one more song. So we were like, okay. So we went through this, you know, long process trying to come up with a song.
Well, that, we went all over
yeah,
the country.
Yeah, we went to New York and we went to California, and then, you know, we just ended up recording
in Matt's
right
room
back where
demoing.
We.
12 hours before.
Yeah, right where we started. And we were going to record the following morning, and we were like, we need to create a song, like, mm-hmm. tonight.
Yeah, we didn't have anything.
We didn't have anything. And that's
yeah, we were like, oh, man, we got to go into the studio. We got to go back into the studio tomorrow. We got to create this song. And we didn't have it.
We had the tempo figured out. We had the key of the song figured out.
Yep.
We had a song written, but
lyrics.
It wasn't the song.
We had some lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah, we had something demoed out before.
Lance wasn't even here.
Yeah. So it was Danny, Matt, and I, and we're at Matt's house trying to come up with stuff. We're ripping our hair out for 12 hours trying to come up with this perfect song. Mm-hmm. And we had everything mapped out as to what it should be, but we just couldn't figure out the actual song or the structure or anything. And then we're talking to the producer who did the album as well, and we're on the way to the studio, and I guess he was on the way, and he just comes up with a hook in his head. It's in the same key, same tempo,
well,
everything.
It was the same exact
yeah,
everything.
It was the
and he was
weirdest
like, hey,
thing that's
this.
Ever happened.
He's like, I have this idea, we should do it in this tempo and this key. And we're like, we were coming to you and saying that we wanted to do it in this key and this tempo. And he's like, yeah, and I got this hook for it.
Yeah,
it
so
started
like,
off
what we had hook. Created, he was able to
he
lay
basically, yeah.
his melody down over top of it. And
yeah.
then we're
we
like, wait a second, we already have lyrics for that melody.
Yeah,
and
we put a bunch of sticks together yeah. and we...
Lit
formed
a
it into a circle, and we had
and the chorus
lighter
we
fluid,
had,
and he brought the fire, and yeah. it just poof.
And the chorus like, that
oh,
we
that
originally
was the piece we
had
were missing.
Is now the verse.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it's a little bit different of a melody change, but the lyrics, like,
yeah.
we were like, oh, man. The Crazy was actually created, besides what Matt was saying, with the 12 hours prior the night before, the day of creating Crazy was like 6 hours. And
oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It was just
and Lance
like,
wasn't
was
there, crazy. So we're coming up with the guitar stuff. Danny actually performed all the acoustic stuff on
oh yeah,
on the recording.
Yeah, sorry.
And
we're
just coming
busy.
Up with everything.
So
Lance was doing
do.
Lance
I was
things.
I probably playing Overwatch or something.
Yeah.
It was just... I think in the middle of all the craziness of everybody going back and forth between home and nobody living close
a place
enough.
Where we could go.
Home, uh-huh. a place where we can go. Can you sing like that all the time?
So yeah, pretty crazy yeah. scenario.
Very crazy scenario.
So the night before, though, we didn't think we were going to have anything.
Yeah.
And then the next day, we're supposed to be in the studio with this song completed. We only had one day to finish it.
Yep.
Somehow busted it out within 6 hours.
Well, because our producer, and I've got no problem plugging his band. He's in the band Galactic Empire. I don't know if you're familiar with who they are.
I am not.
Okay, well, they're a Star Wars metal cover band. So they do, like, Star Wars, you know,
theme music.
That's awesome.
It's metal. It's actually really cool if you're into Star Wars.
Red,
so. Yeah, so yep. so he was getting ready to go on tour. We didn't have time. So it was like, this is it. We got to create this song this day. If it doesn't happen, then we don't know what we're going to do. I guess our record's going to get held up. You know, we had no idea. And crazy.
Really brought it down to the wire.
Yeah.
But it worked, and it made a great song.
Thank you, man.
Made a great
you.
Video, too. That
yeah.
was awesome.
That's
tell me
Lance's
about shooting
idea.
That. Lance, that was...
That was Lance's idea.
Oh, yeah, it was, kind of.
Where was that?
Preston Castle in Outside of Sacramento, like California.
Yeah.
Was it I wanted to make I it own? Like a pizza
I
commercial.
Own. I own. That's what it was.
I own.
What is that?
That's the name of the town that where we shot the music video.
It was a really cool
location. We should have made the music video about pizza.
Who was
really
it that was
it.
Actually there? Who was at that place when it was still active?
What do you mean?
An old rock artist.
I
forget. Man,
there was somebody that,
I must have missed that.
Stayed at that facility when it was being used for whatever it was used for.
It was a
boy. Marilyn Monroe?
But like it was also for like criminals
no?
and then like
it was a boy. It was a boys' school.
Like, yeah,
children
like misunderstood
like,
boys.
Yeah,
or their parents couldn't afford to keep them.
I was thinking it was an actual like old sanitarium because it was set up. You know, all the shots in the video, it looks like that's what it was.
Yeah, it's really cool, man. They've done some Paris
did theirs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Rob Lowe did like something there.
Did he really? Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, Ghost Hunters.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, those things are everywhere.
It looks like an insane asylum, but it wasn't really for that. It was just like for misfit kids and then like also criminals who were like over capacity, they said, from the jail would also be there. So you'd have like some kid who's like a troublemaker also rooming with a 30-year-old murderer.
Yeah, they were telling us that they even had like prison rules.
Yeah.
Like the kids like had prison rules.
Whoever,
like there was a top dog.
Yeah.
If you beat him up, then you were the new top dog and all the wardens would... Or the warden would rely on you to keep all the other kids in, and if like you fought anyone, you don't talk about it, and if you do, you're a snitch, and that means you're at the bottom. Like they literally had prison rules.
Yeah.
Like this is what we were told from like the guy who was either owned the building or he was just running
it.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Funny, though, one of the things that he said, he's like,
was it crazy?
I didn't mean to do that.
One of the things he said that day was, is he's like, a lot of people will ask me questions. He's like, and if I don't know the answers,
I'll just make them up.
Just make, yeah.
So really, this whole past 5 minutes.
Yeah, this could be all BS. Who knows?
Just make a cool story.
It doesn't have to be true. It just has to be cool.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what our manager always says. He's like, you know, if the stories, or what is it? If the story is better, publish it. You know?
That's true. Mm.
Yeah. Tell me about the track "The Future." What went into making that? What were you drawing from?
That song's got a great history.
I could play the original demo.
Yeah, so the original demo Lance sent, and it was complete. It was like a metalcore song.
It started out as like a very dubstepy EDM song going into metalcore, and then at like an uplifting metal chorus.
And it turned into a hip-hop track.
And we left one little small track, like the little synth line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing out of that demo that made it, and we started making these.
It was a super sick synth line, though, and it was like, all right, let's build a song off of it.
Yeah, I remember I was trying to do a lot of production-based stuff with this because I was thinking, like, using the pad and everything. I remember when we were listening to the song, the synths and the dubstep were so cool that I was like, why don't we add like more trap style hats to this? And when we added those, I was like, well, this metalcore spot just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It's like,
and I was already like against putting a lot of metalcore in the album anyway. Like I was the one that was like, no, we're not doing that. So then when it started to shift to that, we just kind of reversed it into more of a hip hop. So we felt that the feel of the song was more of a heavier hip hop song than it was an actual heavy song. And then it kind of shifted into the future. Like, fucking trap hats is what did it.
Half of what you just said is going to get edited out. They're like, the trap hats is what did it. I mean, exactly what these guys are saying with the kids, like, that was a spur of the moment thing too. Like, we were on our way to the studio that day, and
we just like stop by your local elementary school and see like what chorus wants to go to.
That's hop in the van, kids.
I mean, what you and Lance are doing in your own personal time.
Matt
times.
And I did run around and pick up a bunch of kids and buy them slushies and candy.
Yeah, we did. So
luckily,
so we were on our way to the studio that morning, and that was the song that we were currently working on, and we had everything together, but we didn't have a bridge. And I had this like melody hit me when we were in the car, the melody that's sung in the bridge, by the kids, and then we were kind of like thinking about it, and it was like, what if we had kids actually sing the song "The Future"? Like, wouldn't that make more sense? And I have a son, which a lot of people don't know, and him and his friends, it was summer, so him and his friends were off school, and he had been staying with his grandparents because my wife is at work and I'm in the studio. So we decided that we were gonna go round up him and all of his friends. And I hit up actually Dan, who used to play guitar in the band. Him, he has a couple daughters, and I was like, "Hey, bring them on over. Let's get all the kids in the studio."
It's like 7 or 8 of them.
Yeah. So Matt hectic. And I went and rounded all the kids up, and we got them all in, and you know, we had the PlayStation set up so they could play the PlayStation when they weren't. But it was a cool experience for everybody, you know. The kids being in there, like me as a kid, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, in, like, a studio and like a vocal booth and just.
And now when they're like older, they get to play that track and be like, "That was me when I was 8." You know, this is how cool is this? So, and the track itself, it just, you know, it speaks for the whole album. Like, I think that it is a, you know, for as much as we get likened to bands that have already done rap and rock, like, I think that it has a future spin on it. Like, it has more of a modern hip-hop triplet feel attack to the raps, and then the way that everything is done anthemically through the kids and Danny singing in the chorus, I think that it's something that you don't necessarily hear. You know, people have tried to compare that song to Hollywood Undead already, and it's cool because I like Hollywood Undead, don't get me wrong. But it's like, I don't hear them doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know what I mean? It's something that you really hear in the rap world with NF and MGK and Eminem obviously, and you go down that list. So we're really trying to kind of like break that mold and create something, you know, for us that we love obviously, and that is something fresh compared to what we've already been compared to.
At what point did you know that this was going to be the title for the album?
That's a good question.
There was a point.
I think it was when we named the song. We're like, yeah, that just makes sense to be the album name.
Yeah.
You know, because the last album was Day One. And there's a lyric in there. It says, "Day One is over, the future's approaching, the embers are glowing, we're spreading the ash." So, you know, it just made sense. Day One was the last album. The future is this album. Embers, what we call our fans. And spreading the ash is what we always tell people to do when they spread our name around. So
I think that mixed with, like, changing our logo to the triangle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems
representing
like
the three points, like past, present, future. Like,
yep.
It's kind of...
Yeah,
which is funny.
It all just made sense.
Which is funny because before Danny came back down, like sitting back there while we're doing the demos and pre-production everything, I'm coming up with all these different logos, but everything was triangle-based. And then 2 months later, I kind of focused more on the music. Danny was there a month later, whatever it was. Yeah. Danny's like, "Oh, we should come up with this different logo," and it was triangle-based. And it was just like, all right, that's what, you know, let's start with that. So
the funny thing is, if you put a solid triangle in the center of our logo, it makes a negative space A. Which is
Danny didn't.
I realized that later. I was like, "Shit, we should have just done that."
Well, you could just evolve it for the next step, you know. Just,
right,
just
we could do that, you know.
Once everyone later has it tattooed all over them, our logo just keeps evolving.
My idea was to keep it the way that it was because it looks already like it allows you to think it's a triangle, but also the A, and it's placed as the A.
Yeah. So if you look at the negative space, it is the shape of an A.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that bottom piece of the triangle is cut off, so that's the two legs. And, you know, for people who don't understand what negative space is,
but
I'm pretty sure our listeners are smart enough. I also want to talk about the cover song that you guys recently put out, because it seems like there's a lot going on with that, and I want to talk about it. It's a cover of the song "Pray for Me" by Kendrick Lamar and The Weeknd. I did not know this song. I'm not like a pop music kind of guy. All I know is like rock and metal. That's what I am. But listening to the song you guys did, the way you did it, I was like, this is a great song. So, like, is it, you know, how much of your own spin do you put on something like that? How do you make that work?
I'll say one quick thing, and then I'm going to let Lance take this. It's from the Black Panther soundtrack, though, too. So so if you're a Marvel fan, it's a big song, Wakanda Forever.
Damn, that movie it is. So much ass.
But Lance did most of the production for the song, if not 99.9% of it. So
I just came in and redid some drums.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just added little tweaks here and there and some mixing things. This song was all done by us. Nothing was done outside of the band. So this was our first fully recorded, you know, basically directed massive, the music video that is nowhere to be found. just, you know, so Lance can probably answer that question a lot better for you, because he really, really dove in and tackled this song. Super proud of you, by the way, Lance.
Thanks.
The direction we took was pretty faithful to the original.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, The Weeknd,
like a half
he's
and
a
half.
Great artist, and I feel like Danny is really good at singing pop style, so wanted to keep the verses as close to the hip-hop pop world as possible while crushing the chorus with the typical, you know, what metal kids want. And then also, there was a hook later in the song, in the actual song, that I'm like, I don't really care for this.
It wasn't as exciting as
right,
I feel like.
Right.
I wanted, no jab at them, because I love the song originally, but it, I definitely feel that your hook is a lot catchier.
Well, there wasn't a lot of dynamic in the original song. Yeah. It kind of just
It kept that
made
solid
its way
beat.
Through. Yeah.
Throughout the
like
whole
even
thing.
When it went into the chorus, like he didn't go like you go from like this subdued
right,
you know approach to this really you know metal type approach to your vocal you know for lack of better terms Jacoby or Chester or something like that
yes
you know for what you did so you know I think there's a lot of dynamic in what we were able to put together
there's a nice like EDM chopped up vocal I love doing that stuff so anytime you hear that on our songs on the record it's usually my vocal but you would never tell
our song Forgotten was a mistake
and
it was just it stuck
because there's like that whole part in there
I remember
it was a mistake it wasn't supposed to be that
really
Lance put it was the first time Lance ever used that thing and he just put it in there and we're like oh that's cool
and then we worked on it for 6 hours we
tried to change it remember we were trying to change it and we just ended up going back
alter the thing and make it perfect.
This was before I was around.
Forgotten. Because, because we sent you the track. And you're like, I really think this is cool.
Yeah, that was one of the two tracks you showed me. I was like, this song is cool.
Yeah.
You were hearing a lot of
we'll use
love
a little
song.
Bit. It's like Zed. You know what I mean? He uses the same clock tick in almost every song. Yeah. We'll use a lot of the same sort of things, but kind of alter how we're doing
it. The thing with From Ashes to New is we listen to everything. Like, we were just at Music Choice, and one of the things, you know how Music Choice, they always have those blurbs that pop up when you tell you something about the artist on the TV screen. One of the things was, is what's an artist that people wouldn't know that you listen to? My answer was Boney James. You know what I mean? I don't know if you know who Boney James is. He's a smooth jazz artist, you know? So, like, I think with From Ashes to New and having our influences and everything, we listen to everything. And that's, you know, what we try and incorporate in our songs. And back to the cover real quick, Kendrick Lamar's part, he sent the song and he's like, hey, let's do this song. And I'm like, all right, cool. I listened to it and I'm like, oh, that's easy. That's simple. And then when we got into it and I actually started performing it, I'm like, this is impossible. Like, because it's, he's not lazy, so don't get me wrong what I'm saying, but it's a lazy version of rap. And what happens with a lot of people that have a laid-back rapping approach, they lay off of the beat, like behind it. So when you listen to people like NF or Machine Gun Kelly or Eminem,
it's staccato.
It's right on the beat. Or sometimes even a little bit before the beat, you're hearing that rapper. With people like Kendrick Lamar and you know, a lot of these, obviously, these mumble rappers now, which don't get me started. But with a lot of those rappers now, they lay after the beat.
Yeah, he also has a very like different approach to his flow.
Yeah,
as well.
Like, he's like,
he'll
I fight the world, I fight you. You know what I mean?
His delivery lines sometimes end in the middle of the next measure. Yeah, so he'll carry it over, but then it links up perfectly. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's just a constant flow over top. And you're like, oh, this would be easy, but then when you actually get into it and hear the beat, and you're trying to do it yourself, you're like, this is actually a lot more complex than I thought.
My voice was raw at the end of the night.
That's the one thing.
And I didn't even get that take
down. I personally like about Kendrick Lamar is he's different. Like, it's a more, I guess, like Matt was saying, a more lazy style, but it's a different approach. It's not lazy.
It's not lazy. It just lays off the beat.
It's asymmetrical.
Yeah.
It's like your hair.
It's a different time signature.
Yeah. It's almost like prog rapping in a way.
Yeah. It's really, I have a new appreciation for it, to be honest, because, you know, I wasn't too familiar with Kendrick Lamar's work, and then going into that, I'm like I said, I listened to it, and I'm like, yeah, it's easy, and no big deal. And then when we started recording, I'm like, I can't do this. This is impossible. So you know, trying to lay back with the tone that I have, you know, like he's obviously got a particular tone. He's got everything that he does works to his style. So trying to emulate that style was just almost impossible. But it got done.
Yeah,
we made it happen.
Off.
Yeah.
And it sounds good.
Thank you.
Song is out right now on SoundCloud.
SoundCloud, yep.
There is a video that exists.
In
hopefully
the
it will
all
be
of our
right
phones
today.
That we should definitely
there, there is a video that exists
waiting,
in our Dropbox.
Waiting approval, hopefully.
Yes. I hope that everyone gets to see it because I really enjoyed it. You, Matt, was very kind to show it to me earlier. And
thank you.
I thought it was dope. You guys have some live dates coming up, yeah?
I think so.
Yeah.
We're going to play a show.
Playing festivals, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple festivals,
couple shows
around
them. Three festivals.
Yeah, we Rock on the Range, Carolina Rebellion, Northern Invasion. So it's going to be a lot of fun. A band dropped off Northern Invasion. I don't know who it was, but glad they did because we ended up picking it up.
Took their spot.
So that was cool. Yeah, we just filled in there. They reached out and said, hey, you want to join the lineup?
Sure.
Like, yeah. Like, put us on. We don't care if we open. Who cares, you know? So we got the ability to do that. We have a couple more festivals it looks like we're going to probably end up adding for later on this year. So we don't have exact you know, obviously dates or locations for those, but we got some cool ideas that came through. May, we have some, like, in-between dates. You know, when you do festivals, you do, like,
routing
shows
dates
in between to try and get from festival to festival. So we've got some dates with, like, 10 years. We have a few dates with Shaman's Harvest. We have a few dates, or we have one date, I think, with Otherwise.
Yeah.
And then a couple of our own dates. And then there is another tour, I believe, that is coming up. Obviously, we've in June, we're gonna be adding some stuff. It looks like we're going to be doing a national tour with Bad Wolves. So we're really excited for that, and there is the ability to hit a lot of states. So if you know there are fans in that are looking for us to tour in the national market, keep an eye out. We'll be there.
Add us on
if
Bands
not,
in
then
Town.
You're probably gonna have to drive.
That way we don't play your
yes.
your area, and
oh.
then tomorrow they say,
God,
"When are you coming to my area?" And we're like, "Well, we were there last night."
Yeah.
So sorry.
I can't stress that enough. That happens.
Add us
so
on
much
Bands
when
you're
in on Town.
Tour. That's all you gotta do. We'll the. App sends you a notification.
Yeah.
Hey, this band is coming
it,
to your
like
area.
An infomercial where you just keep saying Bands in Town.
Bands in Town.
Yeah.
Bands in Town.
Yeah, Bands in Town.
Bands in
just
Town.
Just add us on Bands in Town.
The app is really cool, though. I think you can set your radius to like 100 miles or something
like
that.
Right, so you can have your own preferences and everything.
Yeah, and then it'll send you a push notification when we add something there.
Bands in Town.
What's the name of that app?
That's Bands in Town.
Are we getting a check from them?
You should.
When does that come?
That is one of the things I like to do when I do... you know, prep for these interviews, I always look through the social feeds and I always see what people are posting. And it's like, without question, there's always someone, whenever you announce a tour or something, there's always some idiots like, oh, you're not playing my town, though. Or when are you coming here? Or it's like,
yeah. Yeah.
The information is right there. If you're not on the list, guess what? They're not coming.
Or you can, drive a little bit.
Or you can
like
drive
if we're
a
like
bit.
Not
that's what I'm saying.
If
one
we're
of the worst
outside
ones,
of 45 minutes or something like that. You're like,
Chicago.
Oh, you should come
that's
here. It's like, yo, just drive 40 minutes, man. Come hang out. We're driving 10
16
hours
to come to your to a city 45 minutes from you. Please, please come.
Yeah,
please just meet us halfway.
We were playing Chicago, basically. It was right outside of Chicago.
It was 50 minutes outside of dead center city Chicago.
And people were like, no, it's too far.
When 50 minutes.
When do you come
city.
To Chicago? Yeah. We're like, we're 50 minutes away. Just drive. No, when are you coming to Chicago? Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Maybe
well,
if
we'll
they live in the
time.
City and they don't have a car.
That makes sense.
Right.
I get it.
But that's
right.
the only reason.
And it was in the middle of winter, so I'll give them a pass on that as well. But the biggest thing, again, is, you know, and I'm not trying to plug the company, but Bands in Town is such a cool app because...
I hope we get endorsement after this.
You can track us, you know what I mean? And we've rolled through cities... And I don't know if you've noticed, but we're really big on social media. We interact with all of our fans as much as we possibly can. And there's been a lot of times, you know, people have hit us up like, hey, man, when are you coming here? And I'm literally, as we're rolling out of that city, like, dude, we just played there last night. Like, oh, I missed you. It's like, well, if you had the Bands in Town app, you wouldn't have.
That's right.
So
get it.
Get that Bands in Town app. Bandsintown.com/FromAshesToNew. That is bandsintown.com/FromAshesToNew.
Bands
also
in Town.
Active
bringing
on our
bands
social
deep.
Media, too. We're going to post anything.
Start doing
when
liners.
We are able to announce it, it's going to be posted on our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
I feel like, you know, in the digital age, you know, back before the internet was a big, huge thing and bands would come around, you know, you needed to look at magazines and stuff.
Right,
to,
or word of mouth.
When, or go to the box office and see when the bands you are.
Absolutely.
Now you have all of this information literally.
If you miss
at
it,
your
you're just not paying attention, man.
It's
just
like, what excuse do you have?
Yeah, people are more lazy about it
maybe
now.
Maybe it didn't come in their magazine.
To do stuff.
That's what it
What's
is,
a magazine?
Right? Exactly. Like, I didn't get my subscription to Hit Parader this month. I don't know. So maybe that's what it is.
All right, the album is The Future. It is out April 20th. The band is From Ashes to New. Gentlemen, this has been a complete and total delight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I thought you didn't say disaster.
Thank you for putting the word from on the beginning of our name, too.
You're welcome.
This has been Ashes.
From Ashes to New.
This has been Ass to Mouth.
All right.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.